A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? Will you go down to the netherworld? Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Seriously, who ever wants to hear "woe to you"? Ever. And definitely not from Christ's own lips. At first instinct, we hear this passage can be to look at who's receiving the dire warning. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, and then breathe a sigh of relief. Yet, then we remember what we know about the truth of the gospel. It is timeless. It is always alive. The light of the gospel falls on all of us, always, at all times. How will we perceive this light from today's passage? We might choose to use it like a laser, focusing on one person or one place, one time. Or we may perceive it as the almost sinister light from a dangling bulb, like that found in an interrogation room, waiting to judge, condemn, convict. Then again, for us, as we listen to the light of the truth of this gospel, there is the quiet, though pervasive, gentling dawn arriving yet again with clarity and confidence. So we return to this passage of "woe to you," confident that there is truth and light alive in this passage for us today. Gospel good news is invitation. It offers us a threshold of becoming a new creation. It is the good news proclaiming God's reign here and now. It is joy and light, invitation and opportunity. It is also the mystery of the Paschal event, the cross, death, and new life. These few verses from Luke's 10th chapter are strangely absent from the Sunday lectionary cycle. They are sandwiched within the more inviting and engaging verses of Christ sending out the 72 disciples that offer clear direction, assurance, and more than a tinge of the promise of influence. Why is it that these first century Galilean towns so present in Jesus' ministry are taken to task as he sends out the 72. I offer this thought. These 72 individual disciples, women and men who have been companioning Christ along the way, who have observed him as he encounters the other, as he is crossing the social, religious, ethnic and cultural boundaries and taboos. These 72 who have watched him heal the sick and cure the possessed, these 72 chosen and called, now being sent, are now being reminded in a less than direct way about the multidimensional character of discipleship. We, Christ's 21st century disciples, need this reminder as well. Discipleship is more than a singular privilege we hug to ourselves to the exclusion of others. In other words, it is more than Jesus and me. Discipleship is deeper. It is more expansive. Discipleship has a communal dimension. Woe to us when we whittle down our discipleship to being enough as long as we have a personal relationship with Jesus. Woe to us when our discipleship warps into some kind of privileged relationship with the divine that obscures the light of the gospel for all. Woe to us if we let our understanding of discipleship become a righteousness that allows us to judge persons, whole groups, countries. Jesus is reminding the 72 and us that our individual response is necessary and not enough. We must affect the whole. The good of the other, the good of all, these are intricately connected to us, whether we like it or not. We belong to each other. Christ's table fellowship is about more than one meal or one person or one town. The tables he eats at, the wells he drinks from, the unclean he touches, the sinners he refuses to condemn. These are all about the whole of the new creation the reign of God is ushering into our lives. Christ depends on we who say yes to the Spirit in authentic discipleship to also be cooperating with God's ongoing creation being offered to all. Tyre and Sidon, these two Canaanite towns, far outside of those chosen and called, not worthy by any stretch of the imagination of God's mercy, truth, and light, yet they can absorb God's mercy, truth, and light much more readily than the very towns where Jesus had worked his mighty deeds. It is in this region precisely where Jesus, encountering the Syrophoenician woman, expands his own understanding of the reign of God being offered to all others and belonging to all. Discipleship is a multidimensional reality. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, put in the name of your city, your town, your country. Our cooperating with God's ongoing creation, being offered to all, calls us to act in our community, our body politic, our church, as agents of mercy and invitation to share the same table. What image of light will we choose as the light of this gospel passage in our lives today? Will we use it like a laser, focusing on one person or one place, one time, back in the first century Palestine? Maybe we will use it as the light from the dangling bulb, like that found in an interrogation room, waiting to judge, condemn, convict. Or perhaps this passage's light today is arriving like the gentling dawn, arriving once again as we utter our yes anew to the truth of belonging to each other, to the truth of God's reign here and now, where our belonging is to all others, all of creation. with clarity and confidence.